CBSI in the World. I'm John Batts with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Financial Times headline, striking, given the run-up to the Belt and Road domination of the last decade. China hit by surge in Belt and Road bad loans. Subhead, global finance scheme becomes millstone for Beijing as $78 billion renegotiated or written off in the past 3 years. Gordon, this program was Xi Jinping's major selling point the last decade. And the understanding was these loans were meant to influence, if not dominate, nations with weak prosperity prospects on their own, building a network around the world, railroads, roads, pipelines around the world that would please China to bring itself to market. Now we're hearing bad loans. We could have told them that initially, Gordon. Sri Lanka, for example, or Pakistan. No ability to repay loans. Giving them money like this was guaranteed to disrupt for a while, but then again, they would turn their pockets out. How is this regarded in China today, Gordon? Is this a blow to the confidence in Xi Jinping, or will nothing stop the man now elected for the third term?
Yeah, for the last couple of years, John, there has been a noticeable de-emphasis in Belt and Road in internal propaganda in China. And I think that that is largely because people saw this coming. They realized that Belt and Road was building infrastructure that the private sector did not want to build because it wasn't bankable. And so people knew that there were going to be enormous amounts of bad debts, which have now occurred. And so I think that essentially this is not a bright spot for Xi Jinping.
Look at the countries, Gordon. Just the names of them tell you that the prospects of repayment were slight. Bad governance, bad prospects, geopolitical dynamism that failed. Belarus, a dictatorship under the boot of the Kremlin. Lebanon, at civil war. Ghana, Sri Lanka, I mentioned Sri Lanka. Zambia, Argentina, 104% inflation. The IMF is frustrated in trying to balance those books. Ecuador, where there's nothing but trouble now, even though it's rich in mines. Suriname, and then we come to Ukraine. Loans to Ukraine, Gordon, over the last 10 years for Belt and Road. This is a portfolio in the hands of someone who should have been fired, was he?
No. Xi Jinping, as you pointed out, got his third term as General Secretary of the Communist Party. John, this is absolutely fascinating. Remember, the Americans went on a third world lending spree, and we had to pull back. And then the Japanese did it, and they had to pull back. And now the same thing is happening in a different form, but the same general thing is happening to China. And this comes at a time when China's already overstretched. So right now, I think that there is a terrible strain in finances in China. You've got the big military buildup, the big costs for internal surveillance, Belt and Road, and other projects. China just doesn't have the money, especially because its economy is stumbling right now. First 2 months of this year, it was contracting. March, I think there was some growth. But this does not look like a good story for Xi Jinping or for China, of course.
And for influence peddling, if the loans are eaten, what is the opportunity for grifters, for people with bad intentions to secure more loans? I don't know if China is going to become conservative, but there are suggestions that its growth is inhibited. Let me be generous. Now, there's another story, Gordon, in the Wall Street Journal that I believe connects to this. A 42-year-old man from the mainland who believed his prospects were not grand in the new China, where the state has its hands in all private enterprise, borrowed $13,000, this is Wall Street Journal reporting, online in China, with no prospect of returning it. He then purchased a fake letter from a fake higher education facility, perhaps a college or university in the U.S., to apply for a visa to go overseas and study in the U.S. He then bulled his way into Turkey, flying from China to Turkey by saying he was coming to survey restaurants for his owners back in China. He then flew from Turkey to Ecuador, which allows Chinese citizens to enter without visa or traveling papers. He then managed his way by hook, mostly by hook, to travel to Colombia, and then with another group of young men, not so young men, traveling into the Darien Gap, which is exceedingly dangerous. We both know this. It's rife with pirates and brutality, 60 miles of triple canopy jungle. And that was the beginning of his adventures. By the time he got to Mexico, he was chased by gangsters. He was apprehended. He escaped again on motorbikes, made it into the United States where he now lives. It's a spectacular story, Gordon. The reason I tell so many details is that the Chinese authorities are now reading this. Do they want men such as this 42-year-old young man? Do they want them to leave? Are they driving out people they regard as disobedient or not promising? You talked about drafting college age. Are they driving out men who are not as well educated in order to clean up their books?
I don't think so, John, because this is terribly embarrassing to China. A Chinese migrant who called himself Sam, not his real name, said to, I think it was one of the U.S. media outlets, he said, "This is like an animal stampede before an earthquake." And the numbers are dramatic. The Panamanian government keeps track of the Chinese migrants going through the Darien Gap. In 2021, there were 77. Last year, there were 2,000. In the first 2 months of this year, there were almost 2,200, which shows you there is a migration out of China of an unprecedented surge. So I don't think Beijing wants this because this undercuts its main narrative that they're going to rule the world. How can they rule the world when all the Chinese are trying to flee?
These are enormous risks that this young man took. At the same time, I puzzle about that $13,000 borrowed online. That, of course, is larceny. It's greatly unlikely that he's ever going to repay it. But if you multiply that times thousands, Gordon, we're talking about a lot of credit leaving China with no prospect of repaying, which is how I link it back to the original Belt and Road story. Is China just a place for fooling people for loans? You get the money and you know you don't have to repay it. It makes them like not sugar daddies, but a great big suckers.
Up to now, John, because of social cohesion, I think the electronic payment platforms have not done very badly on their loans. And there are a lot of reasons why people do repay loans. But when your system falls apart, this is what happens. And you know, I agree with you. This $13,000 will never be paid back unless there's some extraordinary circumstances in China, which I don't think will occur. In other words, that they force the family to pay back the loans of the individual. So, you know, this is basically China unraveling before our eyes.
I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.